Hey, Shoujo fans! Welcome to episode 23 of Shoujo Sunday. This week, we'll be discussing episode 6 through 8 of Blue Spring Ride. Let's dig in. Hey Shoujo fans, this is Chika coming at you guys with a quick disclaimer about Blue Spring Ride. Gianna and I are reacting strictly to the anime only at this point. We are not reading the manga in conjunction with reacting to the anime. And so I wanted to make note of that because of the fact that we know that a lot of people love the manga series, and those feelings that they have about the manga series has also gone on to the anime itself. And while I fully understand that, Gianna and I do not have those same feelings, but that's not to say that because of the fact we don't have the same feelings as the people who grew up with it or are nostalgic about it, that's not to say that we are in any way, shape, or form disregarding what the series, the anime, the mangaka, what that means to you. If it means the world to you, we're happy about that. It's just that in our reaction, I thought it was necessary to note we're only reacting off of the anime. And if you are unable to handle our criticism of certain moments within the anime or our feelings about certain characters, then I would advise that you wait until we announce the next series that we are reviewing, which we're sure everyone will be very happy about. But until then, we love you guys so much. Thank you for listening thus far. And regardless of how we feel about the anime and how you feel about the anime, we hope that we'll be able to have a civil and open discussion on why we feel the way that we do.
Hey, Shoujo fans, it is Editing Gianna here. Before we get into this week's episode, here is a quick word from our friends over at Cartoon Boom.
Do you ever miss that feeling from childhood of sitting down on a Saturday morning ready to watch your favorite cartoons? Well, so do we. That's why we've created Cartoon Boom. It's a podcast that talks about all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. So join Joseph and Chris every Saturday morning for your weekly dose of nostalgia and excitement. Brought to you by Nerdsloth.com. Visit Nerdsloth.com for more info.
Games and Feelings is an advice podcast about games. Join question keeper Eric Silver and a revolving cast of guests as we answer your questions at the intersection of fun and humanity. Since, you know, you gotta play games with other people. And we're talking every single type of game. Video games of all stripes, tabletop games, party games, laser tag, escape rooms, game streams, D&D podcast, the companies and workers that make these games, and anything you can think of. How do you convince people who have only played Monopoly to play the new board game you grabbed at the game store? Is an escape room a good third date? What makes a video game cozy, and do we have recommendations? We answer any and all questions as long as they're games related. And question askers get a fun advice nickname, like Rolling Bad in Carlsbad, California, or Bethesda Fan in Bethesda, Maryland. If you like what you hear and want to level up your emotional intelligence stat, subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. New episodes every other Friday. All right, so where we left off last time, Futaba and the class reps got lost in a forest, and Futaba sprained her ankle, which then made Ko decide to carry her on his back until they could find civilization again, and post them getting back to camp and everybody going home. He waits with Futaba at the train station until her mom comes to pick her up, and the episode ends with Makita saying that she's falling for Ko because he helped her walk across some flat rocks on a riverbed. In the forest. Okay. Put my opinion.
I love it. The sass is so good.
Yeah. Guys, okay. So here's a soft serve summary. Now, listen, this is courtesy of me. And
go, Chica.
I'll be honest. This is going to be a very irritating episode.
That might be reflected in what I wrote, and I'll try to be to the point. But anyway, okay. So here's our soft serve summary for episode 6 called Page 6. Futaba is a liar. She meets with Makita in the morning and lies that she doesn't like Ko, even though she does like him. Makita is relieved, and the audience behind the fourth wall is flabbergasted. Futaba tells Makita what Ko was like in middle school and proceeds to tell her how he is an underachiever now. So he gives her a noogie as punishment. Their homeroom teacher asks Futaba and Ko to stay back and write about their leadership training. During this time, Futaba enters a trance of self-inflicted angst because she's nervous around Ko and is noticing his physicality after admitting to herself that she likes him, but feels bad since Makita also likes him. After finishing their report on leadership training, Futaba and Ko walk to the station together. Futaba lies about leaving something at school, and Ko gets off the train with her. She decides from that action that she does actually love Ko. All right.
Great job. I loved the subtle jabs at the writing.
I was so over it.
I know.
Okay, so for themes, Gianna, do you have a theme?
I do. I made sure I had themes this week because I felt bad for not having themes for, I feel like, a lot of the Blue Spring Ride episodes. So I put, a lot of the time when you're grappling with a decision, if you really look deep within yourself, you'll find that you knew what you wanted all along.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
To the point. That's great. I mean, if we could technically leave it off of that theme, we could. But my theme, guys.
Oh, no.
I said, don't fucking lie to your friends.
I love it. I love it so much.
I'm sorry, y'all. The top enraged me. Gianna, do you have a sprinkle on top?
I do not have a sprinkle on top, no.
Okay. I do.
Ooh.
For this episode, guys, I tried to take quotes from what people just said in the episode and use that as the sprinkle on top. This one is brought to you by Makita, where she says, when you love someone, it makes you really happy, but it's hard in some ways too, isn't it? I don't know. I guess it's like a sprinkle on top type of quote. We're sort of moving with it. But anyway.
Yeah, I liked the quote. It depends on, I guess, your specific situation with romance.
Yeah. The thing is, maybe it's because of like my age, but I'm at a point where I don't really want to love if it's hard.
Exactly. Yes, it shouldn't be.
I'm firmly against struggle love. I am not a ride or die. If you do something to go to jail, I'm leaving. Like,
I mean, that's pretty valid, but maybe I'll cut that out. I don't know.
It's not that there can't be like obstacles, but if it's supposed to be in the very beginning and it's like lovey-dovey and rose-colored glasses, then at that point, if anything is difficult and I have rose-colored glasses on, I'm just taking them off and like walking away.
Yes. Honestly, like snaps for sure. That's how it should be.
Let's get into Floats Your Boat. I have two. So
I have a handful.
Okay, great. I'll just start with mine and then we can go through yours. I feel like mine is like sort of the beginning and a little bit of the middle. So I said that I agree with Futaba that Makita is very cute when she likes someone.
Yes, that's actually my first Floats Your Boat as well. She's just like so cute and in love with Ko. The way she's like, I do kind of hope he starts to notice and wonder. And like the way she was looking at him, it was really sweet and like adorable to watch.
It was. I mean, in general, she's a really cute person, but it's just nice to see feelings. The blush of first love, it just looks very cute on her.
It does. It really does.
The other one that I had, it was Ko calling Futaba out for sniffing his neck.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, it's weird.
It is weird. I think I liked it because I liked her reaction to it, but the actual action of sniffing someone's neck is very weird.
Yeah. You can't just go around doing that.
Don't get caught. If you're going to do it, I mean, don't. But if you are going to do it, don't get caught or don't do it to the point.
Don't get caught. I love that advice.
Like, just conveniently breathe in. If you're sniffing, that's fucking weird.
Yeah. What an interesting route to go with the writing that she just can't stop sniffing the nape of his neck.
Yeah, and he was just like, you did it during that thing. And I was just like, she basically kissed your head too. Like, she was doing a lot.
Yeah, tussled the hair and all.
She had done it or whatever. And then he was like, you did it during Cops and Robbers. And I was like, she did?
Yeah. The fact that he remembered that, though, because she was behind him and she wasn't even, like, touching him. It was like her nose did that little whistle thing, you know?
Right. The little, like, you can tell when somebody's, like, sniffing, like, their nose flares a little bit. Like, yeah. I don't know.
But he wasn't looking at her, so it's just bizarre that, like, he knew that that happened.
Or maybe he just assumed that. Since, like, oh, she did it these other times, then I bet when she was behind me that other time she did it too.
Right, which is a reasonable deduction, honestly.
Right, didn't she talk about his smell in one episode?
Yeah, cologne and shampoo or something.
And, like, sweat.
Yeah, was it shampoo and sweat? I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but she should stop smelling.
Yeah, she needs to stop smelling him.
That was a lot, but I liked her reaction to it. It was funny.
It was funny.
So what are your likes, Gianna?
Okay, so I really liked watching Futaba notice little things about Ko when they were writing the report that they had to as class reps. Because I feel like that's just like when you like somebody like that, that is just how it is. You start to notice little things like that. She's like, oh, his bony fingers, his shoulders, his handwriting, the way his eyes look behind his hair. I love moments like these in love stories so much because you really just get to feel that kind of yearning from one character to another.
Yeah, it's like you just sort of pick up on so many different facets of who that person is. I think it's cute that she notices all of those things. But anyway, float your
anyway,
boat.
Yeah, float your boat, float your boat. A one sentence one is just, it's nice that Ko waited for Futaba when she went to go hand in the report. That's just kind of full stop, I guess.
Yeah.
I do think that Futaba's inner conflict was portrayed very well with the, if I fall in love with the same person as my friend, what do I do? And like, she was really struggling with that. So we were able to kind of appreciate that as audience members, just how heavy the situation was to her.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you have mixed feelings about this, but I did like the way they handled the end of the episode. I think it was just the melodrama did something for me. So to avoid spending more time with Ko, Futaba wants to pretend that she left something at school because she's afraid that if she spends time alone with him, she'll inevitably fall in love with him. So Ko boards the train and she's like, if he doesn't get off the train, I'll give up. But if he does, I won't. And the way the line repeats over and over really builds the tension of that moment and like how high the stakes were for Futaba. And it's like we watch the train doors close. Futaba closes her eyes and like we watch the train pull away. We see her standing, but the sign's blocking and you don't know if he's standing there in front of her. And then all of a sudden there he is. And she's like, well, that's the sign I was looking for. Essentially, it's like she was asking for a sign or for fate to choose for her. And there he was standing before her. So I really liked that. I know it was definitely a little melodramatic and drawn out, but I kind of like that kind of thing.
I would say that I've done something similar to that as well.
Where oh, yeah, it's same.
Like, oh, if this happens, then it's fate.
Yeah.
That's fate talking to me. I feel like as a trope, as something that people in love do, I agree with it. I like it. I resonate with it. I knew he was going to get off, though.
Right. No, I mean, we were halfway through the show at this point. Obviously, he's going to get off the train.
Right.
I just like the tension being built around it.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see it.
Yeah, but that is actually all of my floats your boat if we want to move into another segment. Actually, the only other thing I have is I Scream, You Scream.
I have Banana Split.
Okay.
And Hot Fudge.
Oh, boy.
And I Scream, You Scream.
Okay, cool.
For Banana Split, I was trying my hardest, guys, because I was really mad when I watched this episode. And seeing her actions. So Banana Split, I was like, okay, benefit of the doubt. Like we established in a previous episode, Futaba is emotionally immature.
Mm-hmm.
And she just sort of left one friend group where she literally tried to change herself and make herself as not feminine and attractive to men as possible in order to be friends with other girls that were basically like her bullies. So for her to be friends with Makita now, that doesn't necessarily mean that she's had this full change. Her angsty about her friend's happiness in relation to liking Ko makes sense because she's just coming from that mentality. It's not easy the way that you see it, or I guess as like the fourth wall, we see it and it's just like, tell her.
Yeah.
So I tried to give her the benefit of the doubt in Banana Split because everywhere else I was just mad. Okay. I had COVID, y'all.
Yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better, though.
Thank you. Thank you. It's weird because it's like I'm trying to talk and then breathe. And then sometimes it's like I breathe and a cough wants to come out.
Oh, definitely take your time.
So, hot fudge. I'm pissed, right? So I was mad because Futaba, I've said it before that I hate that her first inclination is for her to lie.
Yeah.
She didn't have to lie. I think that first off, for her to not even respond to Makita in the first place, it's like you're already telling on yourself. So at that point, when you see her, if she just said, oh, I like him too, none of this angst was really necessary.
Yeah, it's another one of those, if someone cleared it up in the first 5 minutes, we wouldn't have an episode, but at least we wouldn't have been seeing this like stupid drawn out something that could have easily been communicated.
Right. And it's like the angst for me, I just thought it was just really stupid because it's just like, oh, my precious friend likes Ko and I like Ko, as if she's realizing it after Makita liked him. But she been knew it.
Yeah.
Futaba's portraying it to herself as if it was only until after Makita said something that I realized that she liked him. But he literally said she was smelling him for years, okay? She was smelling him in middle school. She kissed his fucking forehead. She likes him.
Yeah.
And it's like, if only she got over her impulse to lie, none of this bullshit would be happening. I felt as if it was so unnecessary. And I felt really bad for Makita because just how Futaba sees Makita as her precious friend, it's the same way for Makita. And so here she is. She has her first friend and she's talking about her crush. And then this friend leaves her on read.
Yeah.
And she's so used to people like bullying her. She doesn't want to lose her friend either. The angst that Futaba put herself through, she also ended up putting Makita through that angst because she wasn't sure if their friendship was stable post her talking about that. And then she was also weird afterward. It's just like, don't lie to your friends. Like, it's one thing, the situation with Morale, right? Which we're going to get to. But the situation with Morale telling Makita to not sell anybody. It's one thing if something like that happens. That's not really her information to go tell Futaba anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like an interpersonal thing, I don't see the point in like lying. And I don't know, it just felt like she was doing Makita a disservice.
Yeah. And also Makita, how could she not put two and two together as well? Obviously, Futaba's entire demeanor changes after she gets this information that you like Ko. So the only thing that could have caused that shift was some of the information in the email, because that was the last thing that was talked about before there was a change. So just the fact that for Futaba to lie is like really putting Makita through it, because it's almost like, I don't want to say gaslighting her because that term is just kind of thrown around these days. But like, in a way, that's kind of what it is, because she's like, no, everything's fine, but it's not. And now Makita's searching, wondering what she could have done. Why doesn't her friend want to hang out or talk to her anymore?
Right. Why is she acting weird? Why is she like not trying to be around? Why aren't we talking? You know, like all of these concerns that just didn't have to happen. And for me, I feel like Makita, because of the fact that she hasn't had friends, maybe it's also she's not mature enough to, or maybe not even mature enough. I think she just wants to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So if Futaba says like, oh, that didn't bother me, I want to give you the benefit of the doubt because you're my friend and you're like there and you stuck up for me and whatever. Maybe that's why. Because like any other person, if they weren't in Makita's like situation or didn't have her experience, would have been like, Futaba likes him because she just stopped talking to me. And then she was sort of weird when I was talking about it. But yeah, so that was the only hot fudge I had. So let's get into Ice Cream, You Scream. Do you want to start? I just have two.
Me too.
Oh, okay.
First and foremost, Ko keeps referring to Futaba as not a girl. And it's just so frustrating. Like, get the fuck out of here with that, man.
Oh my gosh, twins. That's the first thing I put too. I was like, oh, I know it's a joke, but right. I don't like Ko denying Futaba's gender identity because she was telling Makita the truth about him.
Yeah, she really was.
She wasn't over-exaggerating. She was just like, oh, he's an underachiever. And it's like, yeah, you were in the gifted class. And then you didn't do anything to fix that. So now you're in the regular class. Not to say that people in the regular class are underachievers, but for him to do that.
On purpose. Yeah.
On purpose. He's an underachiever. I really hate that he denies his mixed signals. I hate it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I actually do have the manga. So it's like, if we were going to do a manga retrospective, it's possible, but. I'm trying to like remember the younger me who read this and enjoyed it because I don't know how I could ever like Ko.
Mm-mm.
If somebody was an anime only, I would fully understand them not liking him because he plays too many games.
Yeah, that actually honestly leads straight into my second Ice Cream You Scream, which is Futaba saying, if I spend any more time alone with Ko, it'll be bad. But it's like, this boy just insults you and is mean to you. And she genuinely looks so sad when she's walking in the hallway with him. Like, is that really someone you want to be with that makes you feel like that?
Right. It's really all about self-love. Because I wish all of the girls in this loved themselves enough to realize that, honestly, men aren't shit. I mean, they can be all right, but for the most part, it's like, take them or leave them. You should really just focus on yourself. But still, if she loved herself more, I want her to have therapy. I want to know, like, what is her family background like?
Yeah.
That's where it's supposed to start and everything. Like, your confidence, you get that from your family. Not your confidence, but they help you build on it.
Yeah.
Like, your self-esteem. And so for me, it's just like, what was her family not doing for her to, one, when she's in middle school and these boys supposedly like her and everything, and then she feels like she has to change herself. What were y'all doing to not make her be like, you know what, defiant? Like, yeah, these boys like me, but they don't even know who I am.
Yeah.
To the point where it's just like, I wish that Futaba loved herself enough to realize that old Ko, yeah, that was her wavelength. But new Ko, you don't want him.
Yeah. Even if this attitude is just a front, that's so toxic. Like, he shouldn't be putting on a front like that.
I hate that. Like, I just hate that about him. I don't really like him as a male lead.
Me neither. I'm trying to grasp onto the romance beats just for the sake of them being romance beats. But like, I don't necessarily ship it. I'm just kind of like sad watching this come together.
Same, to be honest. The last Ice Cream You Scream that I have is about Kominato.
Okay.
So he was weird in this episode because basically after Ko gives Futaba a noogie and then he said that he didn't consider her to be like a woman and that he wouldn't do the same thing to Makita since he sees Makita as a woman. And then Kominato's like looking at Morale, which it's like, bro, Morale does not want you.
Yeah.
Looking at Morale, just be like, I would never do that to any girl because he's basically saying like Futaba is a girl and he shouldn't have done it at all. And then he's like, why are you putting on airs when you brought Porin to that leadership training?
Yeah.
And I was just like, y'all, listen. Okay. So they're in high school. I'm not going to act as if boys weren't looking at that shit in high school.
Yeah.
My thing is that the way that that trip was set up, everybody is sleeping in the same room.
Okay, I was thinking the same thing. Like, how did that go down? How did y'all navigate that?
Literal porn in like a mass group of people.
Right.
What? So was it when y'all were like walking in the forest? Were you walking in the forest? Were all of y'all just hanging out in the room? Were all of y'all watching it together?
Like, right, at what time and place? Not that it was ever appropriate, but like for the privacy, where could you find the privacy to do that?
I don't know. I could be good Judy's with somebody, right? But I don't really know unless like we're going out. And even then, would I just be like, oh, well, let's just watch porn together. What? It would never be me. Never. That was a lot.
It was a lot.
And like all the guys were just laughing and Makita's clapping her hands. And I'm just like, girl, him saying that he watched it too.
Right.
He didn't say, oh, shut that shit off. Like Ko watched it. Anyway, that is all of episode 6. So let's get into episode 7. Here is our soft serve summary. Futaba is acting like she has just fallen in love with Ko and feels angst because Makita likes Ko too, but she didn't just fall in love with him. Anyway, He buys her some water, which she drinks. Then he drinks it too, but he open mouth drinks it so that they don't indirect kiss. Ko then notices that the smell of Futaba's shampoo is attractive to him. And he's surprised that she doesn't disagree with him, since her not saying anything makes him feel like a pervert for some reason. She uses the excuse of buying shampoo in order for them to go their separate ways. She meets up with a past friend named Yumi, who stopped being friends with her because someone lied and told Yumi that Futaba liked Naito. Meanwhile, Futaba only talked to Naito to possibly hear about how Ko was doing after he left. Yumi apologizes and Futaba ends up leaving. She feels angsty the next day about whether she should tell Makita that she likes Ko or not, to which Ko ends up finding Futaba while she's hiding from everyone as he's running away from his brother, who just wants to eat dinner with him. He notices that she changed her shampoo and she says that she wants to be attractive to him, to which he responds by saying that he thinks it's a joke. Then the episode ends with Futaba and Makita agreeing to go to a donut shop and Futaba thinking she will lose a precious friend. So, for theme, do you have a theme?
I do have a theme. It is, navigating having feelings for the same person as your friend is extremely tricky and difficult.
That's good, yeah. To the point. I said, instead of agonizing about a situation, just say something to get things over with.
Absolutely. Yes.
Let's see. Sprinkle on top. Do you have one?
No, I don't. I do have one for the next episode, but not this one.
Okay, cool. What did I put? You know, I said I was going to use quotes. This time I said, who said this? I don't remember. But when you are in love, you worry about the most trivial details. Was that Ko that said that?
I think it was Futaba, actually.
Futaba said it. Okay. So I put that. I felt like that sort of resonated with what was going on. Maybe I should put those in themes rather than sprinkle on top. But you know, since we never really have sprinkle on top.
Right. It kind of works either or.
So let's get into Floats Your Boat. I was happy that Futaba decided that she wanted to tell Makita that she likes Ko.
Yes, it's ideal that she communicate this to her best friend.
I guess, you know, better late than never.
Yeah.
I'm like glad at least she decided to do it. I think I also appreciate it, although we sort of went into this in the last episode, but I just said as a whole, I liked that the writers and I guess animators were doing their best to show what inward drama for a teenager looks like.
Yes.
I liked seeing that just because it's like, oh, okay, I remember when I felt like this based off of what Futaba was going through and stuff. So it made it easier for me as a viewer to understand where she was coming from.
I really liked the way that they handled portraying all of that. I felt like it was very palpable, all the heaviness of the situation for Futaba.
Yeah, the back and forth, like I've been saying, the angst, all of her feelings. Do you have Floats Your Boat?
I have three. They're all very fast. I will say, I thought it was a funny moment after Futaba takes a sip out of the water bottle that Ko bought her, because she was like, I don't feel well, and he wanted to have a sip. So he goes to press his lips to the bottle, and she gets all nervous about it being an indirect kiss. Like, it kind of reminded me back when something like that was something I thought about, which is so silly, so over the top and melodramatic. But then he picks up on it and just pours it into his mouth and almost chokes on it.
Right.
I thought that was so funny.
Because it's like, you know, Mr. Mixed Signal Man.
She was paying
too much attention for him to actually let it happen.
Speaking of just trying to hold on to the romance beats as just romance beats and not necessarily because I like ship them, I did think that there's a shot when he takes her hand away from hiding her face and the train goes by and there's a rush of wind and it blows their hair. That was like really nice. It was a romantic scene. I just wish I liked him more.
Right, same. Otherwise, I would just be like, oh, the rush of feelings. But he plays too much with her emotions for me to like fully delve into my feelings on it.
Yeah.
The last one that I have is I liked seeing, I guess, Makita's perspective of her being worried that she had offended Futaba in some way. And like immediately wanting to talk it out.
Yeah. She's a great friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
My last Floats Your Boat is just a very, very silly moment. I think it was meant as like comic relief as Futaba is dealing with this, I don't know how to tell Makita thing. She goes to have lunch with Morrow and Makita, and she has all the bread and she doesn't know what to say. So she picks up the bread. She's like, I can't eat this. Maybe I'll return it. And Morrow's like, I don't think you can return bread. I thought that was funny.
Right. Morrow's just like, just the fact that she's so straight to the point about things.
Yeah, she's funny.
It's so needed. I also like that as well. I guess, yeah, that's all that floats your boat. So do you have any banana split?
I do. I have two banana split. So Ko gives Futaba the compliment on her shampoo smelling nice, right? And so Futaba decides then that she should go buy more expensive shampoo. And later she's like, I changed my shampoo so that he would like it. But he already liked her shampoo. She didn't have to change anything.
Right.
It was weird. I don't understand.
I feel like it's just her need. She's constantly trying to change herself to fit whoever it is that she's talking with. I feel like that's just part of, how do they say it? Je ne sais quoi? That's like her,
yeah,
her modus operandi or whatever. When she was with Asumi and Chie, she was like a glutton. Then she was trying to be around Ko, so she dropped them. And now that Ko said that he liked her shampoo and she thought it wasn't good enough, she got a more expensive shampoo to be good enough.
Yeah.
And he thought it was a joke. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It just felt strange to me.
Yeah, it did. She could have just stayed, but I don't even think she has a firm grasp of who she is as herself to realize that she doesn't have to change. I feel like she doesn't have to be a glutton anymore. And so she's sort of not. But I don't think she's certain enough to be like, oh, okay, he likes the shampoo, I can continue using it. I think her default is just to change.
Yeah, let me find an even better one kind of thing. I don't think this one's good enough.
Yeah, I don't have any banana splits. What's your other one?
My other banana split is Futaba is struggling to tell Makita about her feelings for Ko. We see kind of like the first iteration of this when it first flashes to her at the desk and she's like, oh, I decided to do it days ago, but I just can't. While that's like kind of funny to start, she immediately calls herself incompetent, incompetent, incompetent. I feel like that's Ko in her head because he was calling her incompetent a few episodes ago. And that made me really sad. This boy she's supposedly in love with is already making her feel this way about herself.
I just feel like she's just so prone to changing herself based off of the opinion of others that even when it comes to people degrading her, then she's internalizing that. And it's really sad to just see that because it's like, she's not incompetent. She's not cheap. She's not any of the mean things that he says.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want her to care more about herself to just get away. I mean, even to have this whole thing of she likes him too, and it's just like, what do you like about him?
Right, that's what I'm wondering. What is it? Like, I understand if, like, she's attracted to him or whatever physically, and, like, she's having a hard time shaking that infatuation or whatever, but that's not enough for her to, like, be in love with him. It's not like there's not other boys at that school she could talk to or get to know.
Right, and, like, the thing is, it's just sad.
It is.
She should be with somebody that's just nice to her. And like the mixed signals, it's too much.
I really hope that if Ko and Futaba's relationship blossoms at all in the last handful of episodes we have, that he has a huge turnaround of some kind. Because it's really hard to get on board with this. It's like it's hard to strap in for this blue spring ride when I'm not about it.
Right. I mean, this shit's blue as fuck. It's blue. As sad.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Do you have another banana split?
No, I just have three ice cream you scream points.
Okay, I have a hot fudge and then technically two ice cream you screams.
Okay.
For hot fudge, shout out to Yumi because this is for you, bitch. Like, how fucking stupid is she?
Okay, yeah, this isn't my ice cream you scream. I feel you.
You are so fucking dumb, Yumi. You are dumb. She was looking at this bitch's bag. She just looked at Naito's bag.
Right.
Naito's nosy ass Because I remember, okay, because he's that one that was asking her, oh, do you like Ko? And da, da, da. And then she was all impulse, I hate all boys. And then Ko was depressed and didn't show up.
Oh, that was Naito.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I'm just like, first of all, Yumi, you have bad fucking taste. This bitch is like a detective. He wants to know all your business. I don't know what you like about somebody like that. But he's a nosy bitch that lives for drama. So all she was doing, all Futaba did, she caught her looking at this man's back. And the thing was that Futaba was just contemplating asking him about Ko.
Yeah.
That's basically it. And if she was so like on Naito's nuts, then she would have been known that he asked Futaba about Ko and she had this like dramatic response. But she didn't. And so it just took all of these people. Yumi already knew that the people that were talking to her didn't fucking like Futaba, right? Didn't fucking like her. So why would she put it past them to lie?
Right.
Why would they not lie? If she did, and that was your friend, why didn't you fucking ask her?
Oh, that's my biggest thing. She literally just saw her talking to the boy. That doesn't mean that she was confessing to him just because they happened to be talking in the hallway. Like, what if they just ran into each other in the hallway alone? They're like, hey, how are you? And then went separate ways and like, I don't know, maybe she like saw something past him in the distance and happened to look like she was looking at him. Like, it could have been anything.
Anything.
And all she had to do was ask.
All she had to do was ask. I was so fucking irritated.
Yeah.
It's like, you literally stopped talking over this boy. That's the thing. Because like, for me, I'm just like savage. First of all, that conversation wouldn't have fucking happened if I was Futaba. But as we already established in this episode, Futaba doesn't love herself enough. Because let me tell you something. You being good Jewies with me, and then you stop fucking with me, and I just see you on the street. Baby, I'm walking past you. You a stranger. I don't know who you are. We're not going to have some conversation. And then she's all like, oh, yeah, you know, remember middle school? You know how middle school was for her. So what the fuck you think she's going to remember? You being a bitch. And for her to just be like, oh, because I was just all about Naito and everything. And it's just like, okay, all this fucking work. Did you ever confess to him?
Yeah.
Since he was that fucking important to you.
Right.
This nosy whore. As if he was that important to you. Did you confess? Are y'all dating now? Because I bet if they started dating, because that's the thing too. I don't even think that they're dating. If they started dating and then she was just like, oh, well, I heard that Futaba confessed. And he would be like, no, she didn't.
Multiple people could have cleared this up and no one was asked.
No one was asked and everything. So I just feel like, first of all, Yumi's a shitty friend. And because of that, that's what made me finally get her being all, like, I couldn't say shit about her being as weird as she was with not telling Makita. Because she doesn't know no better. So it's just like, oh, everybody's going to be like that. But no, people are not like that. That bitch was delusional, Futaba. She's delusional.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was hot fudge. Let's get into Ice Cream, You Scream.
Sure. So I feel like this is something that we already touched on when we talked about Makita's introduction, like near the beginning of the series. Because in middle school, Futaba was so sweet and soft-spoken, and so she was popular with the boys. And, you know, the fact that being sweet and soft-spoken makes you popular with the boys is a lot to unpack, and we already kind of did that with Makita, so I'm not going to pound that into the ground. But, oh my god, just let the girl live her life. It was just her personality. She wasn't putting on any kind of act. It's just bizarre to me that because she was nice, it made her popular but unpopular at the same time.
Y'all be pressed about men, okay?
Right.
They use three lotion body wash type shit. Like, they wear
three
fucking Axe. 3-in-1. Yeah, that 3-in-1 body wash. But it's a body wash. It's shaving cream. It's something the fuck else, okay?
Yeah.
They wear like Axe and stuff. They pick their nose. They be like fucking up their socks, okay? God forbid. Like they do.
Their underwear elastic has holes, like.
Doo-doo stains, okay? They don't know themselves. They think that they like girls. There are men that think that they like girls, but they actually like men and proximity to men or whatever. And then they just use that to abuse women. Like, I'm sorry. And I'm not, this isn't to say that there aren't good guys.
There are. Yeah, there are plenty.
There are. But y'all, I bet that y'all, you, good man, listening to this, I bet that you also used a 3-in-1 wash before. So don't even come for me. I know what I'm talking about.
You were all about that Axe body spray in 2006. We know it.
Right. The shit was smelling everywhere, okay? The commercials lied, but y'all didn't get it. So, the thing about it for me, these girls are so pressed behind men. Go fucking confess then, bitch. Like, confess. Because getting mad at a girl for being noticed, you don't even know her. And so have that jealousy to the point of, I want to ruin your life. You aren't going to have any friends. I'm going to bully you. Because men notice her, then why don't you start mimicking her then?
Right. If you want to get noticed, make yourself noticeable.
Right. If like her being shy, right? Because the way that those guys were doing, like, we're not going to fully unpack that shit. But it's all about submission and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, if you want that, if you wanted those men so much, then just pretend to be as submissive, right? Pretend to be shy. Pretend to be everything that you aren't to get that guy's attention. If that's just something that you fucking need in middle school, when you should be figuring shit out, you know, like grades and like having hobbies. I don't know. Anyway, so I sort of mentioned this in the summary, and I know I probably didn't full out explain it, but him saying that her changing her shampoo was a joke after she told him that she wanted to be attractive to him, I literally was just like, stab him.
Stab him.
Just stab him.
Choose,
you know what?
Violence.
Like, it's manslaughter. I don't fucking know. It's self-defense. It's not really. But, like, the thing is,
oh,
I was
God.
So fucking irritated because, one, like we noted earlier, she didn't have to fucking change it because he liked her cheap shampoo, right? I guess it's basically him liking her as she was, but then not really, because if he did. Anyway, so she didn't have to change it. She changed it. She even admitted she wanted to be attractive towards him. That's basically her basically saying, I like you.
Yeah.
I want you to be attracted to me. And then him saying it's a joke. Why do you still like? What is there to like?
Yeah, I truly don't know what there is to like about this boy. I haven't figured it out yet. And we're going into episode 8 now out of 13. It's frustrating.
It is frustrating. And that was like my second ice cream you screen. Because I think at that point, I was just like all caps yelling. Like, why do you like him? He hides from his fucking family.
Oh, that's my other ice cream you scream. I'm so mad about it. I love Tanaka. Hey. Like, but oh, Jesus Christ. Like, he knows that his brother wants to have dinner with him. Futaba asks him why, and he just doesn't reply. He could at least say, I'm not ready to talk about it, if he's not ready to talk about it. There's just no communication skill whatsoever coming from Ko, ever, at any time.
He is so emotionally unavailable. I swear to God, I would never talk to him another day of my life. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have talked to him after that cheap comment, but I wouldn't have talked to him another day of my life because, like, he just keeps saying all of this fucking mean shit and doing this mixed signal things of hanging around her. And I'm just like, listen, bitch, get the fuck away from her. At this point, like, you don't like her. You are like, you can tell how easily influenced she is by what people say around her. Just get the fuck away from her.
Yeah, neither of these people are ready for a relationship.
Neither one of them, because Futaba needs to build up her self-esteem. She needs to know who she is first before she starts dating anybody.
Yeah.
And then Ko is like, I don't know, punishing his family for a divorce and then acting out and being stupid. Because like I said in a previous episode, you're living in your family home on your own. Who's paying the bills?
Right.
Right? Somebody's paying the fucking bills because you aren't working. He's not working. He's like going off to, and I mean, that means that he gets money as well to get food.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's like,
food's not cheap.
Right. You're getting an allowance wherever you're staying at, your family home, some fucking how, living on your own. You're acting out. You're saying mean, like, I don't know who he's fighting against. I just think the whole thing is fucking bullshit. He doesn't know who he is. He can figure that out. Nobody needs to go and fix him, change him. That's no one's responsibility but himself.
Yes.
And if he can't be good to his own fucking brother, who made him like steak, y'all.
I know.
It's not like, I made ramen.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like he made ramen or he heated up some Campbell soup or some shit like that. Like, he literally made him dinner. For real.
Yeah, a beautiful home-cooked meal.
And this bitch is ungrateful. He's also, like, literally running away from him. No, you don't want to date somebody like that. Like, no.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so that's episode 7. So
we're so mad. We're so angry. Right? Both of us are so angry.
I'm so over it, y'all. I feel like this episode,
I'm going to title this episode, We're So Angry or something, or just like Big Mad Times. I don't know.
Right. Like, we're big mad. Like, yeah. I don't know. Okay, let's get into the final episode of today, episode 8. Here's our soft serve summary. Makita invites Morao to go to the donut shop with her and Futaba. During this time, Asumi walks by and sees Futaba hanging out with Makita, and she says, oh, you've changed since she started hanging out with her. And Futaba decides to take that as a compliment. Futaba, once they're at the donut shop, Futaba finally tells Makita, and technically also Morao, that she likes Ko. And Makita takes it very well, and they decide that, you know, no hard feelings to whoever gets with Ko, of all people. Morao confesses to liking Tanaka-sensei, and promises to remain neutral, so both girls should go for Ko. At that point, Futaba sees Ko at the train station when she's going home, and he goes to another part of town to hang out with, I guess, some not-so-good teens, and Futaba seems put off by it. His friends, quote-unquote friends, seem like scumbags that prey on women, and after one makes a comment on Futaba's boobs, he then leaves and she follows him. He tells her to go home and to stop following him, but she doesn't stop. So eventually, they stop at a hill, and while they're sitting together and drinking with one another, basically, Futaba tells Ko that rather than hanging with those not-so-good teens and talking with them, that if he needs someone to talk to, he can talk to her. But then she kind of chickens out, so then she says that he could also talk to other people from their class as well. And afterwards, he tells her that she shouldn't take men too lightly because she could have been assaulted while she was, like, following him. And she's not really taking it seriously. So he fake demonstrates his power over her and she starts crying. And so he apologizes because he thought that he scared her, but she's actually crying because he didn't kiss her. And that's how the episode ends.
Ugh.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a theme?
Okay. In all honesty, I was so mad by the time this episode was over that I couldn't think of a cohesive theme. Like, literally all I could think of is Ko is undateable. How is that for a theme?
Right. I, like, put, just say it out loud, vampire.
I love
that's
that.
Twilight.
It's so good.
I was just like, just say it. Just say it. For me, I'm just like, at this point, Futaba, tell him that you like him so he can reject you and we can move on with our lives.
Ugh.
Because, like, anyway, okay. Sprinkle on top.
Okay, I think you had already said this for a previous episode, and this is another way that this episode mirrors Maid-sama in a way, is that Futaba is that little black and white kitten.
Right, yeah, I did, yeah. She is, and I put that in ice cream, you scream.
Oh, it sure is. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that is a perfect sprinkle on top. Yeah, I do think. You know, it just shows how emotionally unavailable he is. But
yep.
In any case, so this sprinkle on top quote is brought to you by Ko, the offender. Caring for things brings a lot of trouble.
Yeah. And I think that quote's in my ice cream, you scream.
It's in your ice cream, you scream. It's in my sprinkle on top because it's the symbol. That's what he is. He's unavailable. He's trapped. Anyway.
Yes.
Floats your boat. Oh, actually, I had more floats your boat, but it's because of the girls. It's
oh, I literally have 2 points and we probably both have the same points or something. At least the first one, I'm pretty sure we probably both liked. When Asumi comes up to Futaba and is like, you're really hanging out with Makita? You sure have changed. And Futaba's like, I wanted to change, so I'm going to take that as a compliment. I thought that was great. Yeah. Just owning herself and feeling a sense of confidence coming from her for the first time, really.
Right. And I was so proud of her.
Me too.
I was just like, yeah, you fucking tell her. Yeah, that's a fucking compliment. Because you think you're going to pass by me and then say this shit? And what, I'm supposed to just not hang out with her because you don't like her? Meanwhile, you don't like me either? Girl, fuck you, Asumi. Bye.
Yeah. Like, I am not bothered by your opinion anymore.
Right. I was proud of her for that. A lot of the points that I had about the girls, it could probably just meld it into one. First off, I was very proud of Futaba for finally fucking telling Makita that she liked Ko.
Yes, yes, finally.
I was so proud of her. And noting like their friendship, I was glad that one, Makita took it well. She wasn't like, oh, we're not friends anymore. And like they sort of talked about it. And I just think in general that female camaraderie was so needed, especially like having Morale there, because Morale was able to see both sides, right? So she was able to talk to Makita in the previous episode, and Makita was just worried like she did something to offend Futaba. And then in this time, like she was able to see how anxious Futaba was for even saying anything and how scared she was. I feel like in that moment, it was sort of like Morale was us in viewing like their friendship and seeing just how pure it is.
Yeah.
On both sides and how much they care for one another. So I was just happy just to see like this female camaraderie and to see Morale being a really good listener.
Mm-hmm.
For both of them. Even the fact that like Makita, it's not like she wasn't upset. Like she cried about it.
Yeah.
But even in the bathroom, she like acknowledged how hard it probably was for Futaba to even say anything to her. And so it's just like heart of gold. Like I just wish that she would have said something sooner, but I'm glad that she did finally say something. So it's not this drama point later on down the line. There's not going to be like this sense of betrayal because they like, or they were honest with each other and came clean about all of their feelings.
Yeah, for sure. It's not like a rivalry. It's more of like a camaraderie because, I mean, Makita's first response was that she just wanted to gush about him to her together. You know, I thought that was really cute. Yeah. That was actually my other floats your boat, was really just pretty much what you were saying, the camaraderie of it all, the ladies supporting ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so cute. It was just nice to see that moment finally happen that we were waiting for episodes now.
Yeah, yeah. And then even like Morale being a part of it, like in the beginning, like Morale was like confused as to why Makita was even inviting her. But then I think that Morale finally sort of warmed up to them and was just like, oh, well, you know what? Like, I can be friends with like these people. Like they're genuinely nice.
Oh, yeah.
Which I sort of have a banana split a little bit about Morale, but we'll get to that later.
So do I, but it's very plain. It's nothing big.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was just glad that she sort of joined the crew and she's able to be neutral, and they were all able to talk about their feelings because she confessed to liking Tanaka-sensei. And so for my floats your boat, Futaba's reaction was so funny to me.
Yeah.
I was just like, she's like, where the hell did that come from? I was just like, same, girl, same. But yeah, I was just really happy to like see that. And I will say, I do think that Morale, she reminds me of this other character. So I'm sure eventually that Gianna and I will review this series. It's called His and Her Circumstances. It's kind of like one of like that, those warm, fuzzy, like anime.
Oh, I feel like we need that right now.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not as warm and fuzzy as School Babysitters. I feel like eventually we might get to School Babysitters before we get to His and Her Circumstances. But it's like this really cute story about this girl named Miyazawa and this guy named Arima, and like they're like top of their class, but they sort of fall for each other. And it's very cute, and like the hijinks that ensue from them falling for each other. And so one of the characters in His and Her Circumstances, her name is Maho, and she just has the same demeanor as Morale.
Yeah.
Just the same demeanor in a way. So I can't wait till we get through, like once we get to it, I'll bring this up again. Once we review His and Her Circumstances, I'll just be like, Gianna, was I right? And then you'll be like, yeah. Chica, you were. Like, yeah. Like, she's just like this character. And then, actually, the last floats your boat that I have is also about Morale, because it was really just, like, the female stuff I was happy about, and that was it. Morale telling them that they had terrible taste. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's spot on.
I mean, she does, too.
Right. But yeah. Inappropriate taste.
Right. But I agree. I heavily agree. They have terrible taste. But yeah. So that was my last floats your boat. So if you have other ones.
I don't. I'm done.
Oh, dang. Okay. So the banana split that I kind of wanted to touch on is that I feel like when it comes to Morale, the reason why she's not close to other students is because of the fact that she likes Tanaka-sensei.
I think that makes total sense.
I think it's because she thinks if they started dating and she's just so like on the wall, nobody talks to her, nobody's going to notice that he's dating this student because she doesn't even talk to anybody. And then in her head, maybe it's like this warped, like there won't be a scandal because she doesn't talk to people and she considers herself more mature for her age. She's not hanging around other students.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking. Like, she doesn't want to be associated in Tanaka-sensei's mind as a student. So she's distancing herself from the students so she wouldn't be seen as one.
Right, right. But it's only doing her a disservice because, like, this is supposed to be the time where, you know, she's developing that sense of self. She's learning what she likes and dislikes. And you can't really learn what you like and dislike without talking to other people, you know, or being around other people.
Like having some sense of community.
Yeah. Like, she'll never learn that if she's not around other people. And then on top of it, I mean, seeing the type of person that he is, he seems like the type of person that Tanaka-sensei is, he seems like a little bit of a social butterfly, or he might be a social butterfly. So her being all anti-people, like, why would he want to date that?
Yeah. Like, how would that be appealing?
How would that be appealing? Because it's just like, oh, well, I have my friends, I'll see you later. Like, no, like, you need to have your own friends. You need to know what you even like in the first place. So,
yeah, like, you can't spend all of your time with your partner. That's not healthy.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have balanced relationships.
Yeah. And I think the other banana split that I would have is, I didn't write it, but it's actually in relation to Kominato. So Kominato's walking down the street and he sees the girls in the donut shop. And I guess he's just smiling to himself because before she was like, oh, I'm not trying to, I guess the year before Morale said she wasn't trying to be friends with anybody. And now she's actually being active and talking to people. And so on the one hand, I think that he's glad that she's talking to people because he knows the way that we do that she should have people around her and have like a high school experience. But on the other hand, I sort of dislike it because I feel like he's just was trying to encourage her to be friends with other students because he liked her. And he thought that, oh, if she's like, you know, becomes friends with other people, then she'll might see, oh, how attractive I am and want to date me. And it's like, she doesn't want to date you.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's kind of clear that she doesn't want to date you. And even if she's talking to other girls or being more social, that doesn't mean that she wants him. And why would she want somebody that just brings porn onto like orientation trips? Like, come on.
Oh my God. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Like, even if you do it, now that everybody knows you do it, what is attractive about that? Like, I mean, yeah. So that was banana split. Do you have any Rocky Road or Hot Fudge?
I have a Hot Fudge. I wrote a long paragraph.
Okay, let's go. Okay, I just have ice cream, you scream.
Oh, okay. So I'm just gonna read this. So
let's go.
It's a bit of the description of the scene and me reacting as I was watching it. But also, I guess, trigger warning, there will be talk of assault.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just going to get into it. Ko says that he meets up with his friends or like those dudes in the city to have people to talk to. And I thought it was very sweet. The Futaba was like, you can talk to me. And then she gets nervous and revises it to be like me or Kominato or Yuri or whoever. And she's laying down on the grass and I'm like, oh, is this like going to turn into something nice? She kind of claps back and turns his phrase back on him, saying that those guys he meets up with are friends in name only. And I loved that she turned that around on him. But instead of replying, Ko, our male lead, sits up and goes, aren't you letting your guard down? You could get assaulted. Like, first off, way to literally assault the vibe, Ko. Appreciate that. But also, he grabs her hand and he gets on top of her. He's like, you take men too lightly. You're weaker. A man can assault a woman he doesn't even care about. And I'm flashing back at this moment to Usui doing the same thing to Misaki and Maid-sama when she was happy to be dressed as a guy and serving girls at the cafe.
Ooh, yeah.
And yeah, it took me right back to that. And Ko's like, the only reason you weren't assaulted is because you happened to be with me, okay? If you don't want scary memories like this, you shouldn't go places like that by yourself. And then he is somehow surprised that she breaks down crying. It's just absolute whiplash. And then even worse than that is the reason that she's shocked and frightened and crying is because he almost kissed her. Like,
right.
I say it's like, I hated all of that. None of it was good.
I just feel like it was really bad writing on that part.
Yeah. Horrific.
To have her cry because he didn't kiss her. And they're talking about something as serious as assault.
Yes. Ugh.
I hated when Uzui did this as well. But for him to even say, oh, it's because I was with you that you didn't get assaulted. She could have gotten assaulted anyway. You think you, one person, can stop like a group of fucking people? She could be assaulted the fuck anywhere. But right. I mean, in that situation, she could have still been assaulted with you being there. So it's like, let's not act holier than thou. Like, you have some sort of power to tell these people, oh, don't do it. And they're not going to actually fucking do it. And then outside of that, it was just like him pretending that he's going to take advantage of her. And it's just like what he was saying was valid. I'm not going to say that what he's saying wasn't valid because she shouldn't have been doing that. And she felt creeped out because people were like looking at her in a certain way, right? But then it's like at the same time, the reason why I was really off about it because you couldn't even tell if these people were like bad people until they started talking for real. It just looked like he was hanging out with other teenagers. And so for me, I was just like, okay, I don't really see the issue. Like, okay, he's in a different part of town. Why is she even upset? Until they started talking. And then at that point, it was just like, okay, now that you have her on this hill and you're pretending to take advantage of her, like, why wouldn't she cry about that?
Right.
Because at one point, before she said that asinine, I'm embarrassed that he didn't kiss me or I'm sad, I was crying because he didn't kiss me. I thought that she was crying because she didn't want their first kiss to be that way. That's what I thought she was crying about. And at that point, I was like, that's valid. Okay. Because. Yeah. Why, if she likes this guy, how terrible it would be for him to kiss her in teaching her a lesson.
Ugh. Oh, God, I hate it. I hate it so much.
Right.
And even just the idea, just the fact that she wasn't crying because what he did was like low-key traumatizing just then.
Yeah.
And it was about, he didn't kiss me. It just really super rubs me the wrong way.
That's why I just said it was bad writing because any other, I think even if you like somebody, after that whole, oh, I'm holding you down type shit, that shit goes away real fast, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not still thinking, oh, I like you, whatever. I'm thinking, get the fuck off of me.
Yeah.
Like,
yes, personal space, yeah.
So I just thought that was bad writing. I don't remember if that happened in the manga or not. I'd have to go back over it. And then for me, the real question is him telling her, like, oh, you don't need to be around those people, and him talking about how he hangs around them. And I'm just like, okay, what I want to know is why does he associate with people that he think is capable of assault in the first place?
Right. Oh, my God. He just keeps getting worse.
Right.
How is that possible? Like,
so your parents divorced. So because your parents divorced and you're upset about it and you change your name, now you want to start hanging out with potential rapists? What are you getting back at them? What the fuck? What are you getting back at them for?
Yeah.
By doing that? Or that they smoke and drink. I don't give a fuck about that shit.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, kids can smoke and drink or whatever. And like, that doesn't necessarily make them bad or like they're bad people. But assault does. And it's just like, it's like he's trying to be hard and it just comes off as stupid. I don't understand him as a love interest. I am so not attracted, right? I mean, obviously I'm not because I'm grown. But even like if I was thinking in my like, oh, I'm a teenager, like when I was a teenager, I would never be attracted to anybody that would be capable of doing something like that. Like, you have to teach her a lesson. You have to, first the fuck of all, right, actually, hold, stop, because when he was talking to those people, those friends of his, right, and then they're talking to him about her, and so then he starts fucking tearing her down to her face. Like, she has chubby legs. She eats more than him.
That's in my ice cream, you scream. Yeah, I'm so mad about it.
She's not feminine at all. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you? Like, I don't understand how being angry at your parents means that you can be absolute shit to somebody that's not even fucking involved. Because her even following him, right? I mean, stalking is fucking weird anyway.
Yeah, also, in my ice cream, you scream. Yes, I like, get the fuck away from him. Like, you have to follow, you're compelled to follow him around. Like, first you're sniffing his neck. Now you're following him around down. Like, girl, you gotta, like, look inward a little bit. Reassess,
because if you have to follow somebody, if he says don't follow me and you're following him, you're going to look weird. And you're following somebody that has already rejected, because he's already rejected her at least 3 fucking times, right?
Yeah.
3 times. So if he rejected you 3 times, you don't need to smell this bitch. You don't need to follow him. You certainly don't need to allow him to say all of these negative things in front of you. You don't need to have him fucking cock block you, because he did that in that other episode. I did not forget, you guys, when those guys were talking to her, and those weren't bad guys. Okay. We'll just give them benefit of doubt. Those weren't people who are capable of assault. They just wanted to talk to her. They seemed nice. And then he's like, oh, well, I'm her boyfriend. So he doesn't even allow you to move the fuck on. Fuck this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Like, I am over it. I don't know why you would like somebody that's that emotionally unavailable, that's punishing everybody for what his family did, that's disrespectful to his fucking brother. Okay. A guy who's literally like, oh, let me demonstrate possibly assaulting you to teach you a fucking lesson. No, fuck him.
Yeah.
I just, no. They need to, like, I don't know if they're going to do it, but they need to have an entire flashback explaining why the fuck he is the way that he is. Because for me, there is no redeeming qualities about this man.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what it would take for me to be on board with this romance, because I think it would take moving mountains at this point. I really don't like Ko, and I'm not a big fan of Futaba either.
Exactly. Me too, because I'm tired of her impulse lying.
Yeah.
She's humiliating herself over and over again. It's like self-sabotage just watching this shit, you know? Well, yeah. Not for me, but for her.
Yeah.
Like, the things that she does or she writes off as if he's not like a complete asshole. And then the last ice cream you scream that I had, because it's like, I feel like I just melded my ice cream you screams into your hot fudge. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. I only have one ice cream you scream left anyway.
It's about Sock.
It's about Sock. Yes.
The cat. I mean, they both abandoned, I've just called Sock because of, their paw.
Oh, I know. I like the name. I want to call him Sock too.
Ko articulated, hey, do you think he's okay? I think this is where he lives, and he looks really skinnier than the last time we saw him. And it's like a kitten too, guys. It's not like a full-on, like, grown stray cat. It's like a kitten. And then she was just like, well, if you're noticing it, why don't you take him? Why don't you take care of him? And he's just, when he said that whole caring, what is that shit? Caring for things brings a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And so the thing is for me, okay, you don't want to have Sock? Fine. Take him to a shelter, bitch.
Yeah, do something.
Can't believe that, like, if you can tell, like, this is a kitten, who knows how it's getting its food, but it's not getting fed enough.
Yeah.
Take Sock to a shelter, and then Sock can be adopted out. And you know what? This is the reason why, like, I fully agreed with you saying that Sock was sprinkle on top, because this is exactly the same that Ko treats Futaba.
Yep.
Is how he treats Sock.
Yep, exactly.
He knows, okay, Futaba's somebody that needs someone there to, like, care for her. She's looking for that, okay? She just wants to be in a happy relationship with basically the people around her. She wants to feel safe.
Yeah.
And Ko notices that. And it's like, oh, he'll give pets, right? He'll say something nice, and then he'll do something mean. And so in the analogy of this is, oh, he'll give Sock pets, right? He'll notice that Sock's losing weight, but he won't take Sock to a shelter. He won't take Sock home to take care of him. And I'm sick of it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I was just so angry by the time this episode was over. It's like, I don't want to say I'm not looking forward to watching the other five, but I just don't know what could possibly be accomplished to make me be, like I said, strapped and ready to go on this blue spring ride. I don't know. I'm disappointed.
Right. Like, if we could, like, not finish, I'd low-key would think about it.
Right. Right. No, but we will hang on.
There's
perhaps a silver lining somewhere. I'm not optimistic about finding it.
I feel like there just has to be, I think this just has to be, like, the same thing, like, with Maid Sama, right? It's possibly nostalgia, but I feel like the manga has to have more to it.
Yeah.
They're missing things because he is so unattractive to me. Like, I mean, I know I'm a grown adult. Like, I'm a grown-ass woman. But I could just never picture myself ever liking anybody that would be capable of doing the things that Ko was doing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, whatever he's going through, right? Here's benefit of the doubt. If he went through something that was very traumatic, okay? Like, trigger warning traumatic, I'll get it. I mean, I won't like it. I'll understand.
Right. At least there would be some kind of basis of understanding why he's so awful.
Because I'm telling you, it has to be trigger warning traumatic.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
To be able to understand it. Because a divorce is not enough.
No, no. I mean, like, it's okay to be like, maybe I don't believe in love and to be hesitant and have kind of a front up, but he's downright mean to this girl.
He's so mean. And like, these girls, because they have been in like terrible social situations, they are picking up literal scraps.
Yeah.
So I hope that we see like a flashback episode, because otherwise I really am going to have to go through the manga to understand what his appeal was, because I don't see it.
Yeah, I truly don't either.
Yeah. But anyway, guys, that is the end of this episode. Yeah, I mean, I started off, I said we were going to be angry. It is what it is, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I think y'all would kind of be mad too. I'm just saying. Y'all would be mad too. I mean, depending on how grown you are and you're not like as attached. If you're like attached to the series, maybe you're mad at us. Don't be. You know, we have other episodes. Like,
yeah, like it might turn around. Who knows?
Who knows? Listen to our A Silent Voice episode. Listen to our Whisper of the Heart episodes.
Yeah.
We can be happy about anime. Like, it's not like we're completely against it. Like, there are happy moments. It's not as if we don't like things about Blue Spring Ride. It's just that we think things could be better. But in any case, I need you guys to make sure that you are following us on your preferred podcast platform. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms. We're at Shoujo Sunday. I am Chika Supreme. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Chika Supreme. That is with a K. Gianna.
Hey guys, I am Gianna Luna, and you can follow me also on Twitter and Instagram at Gianna_Luna_. And that's Gianna with one N.
Okay, so we will see you guys for the next episode recap of Blue Spring Ride.
We'll see you then. Bye.